On June 2nd in Detroit, with two outs in the ninth inning, Cleveland Indians shortstop Jason Donald grounded to the right side of the infield. Umpire Jim Joyce called him safe at first base, and Donald became the only base runner Detroit pitcher Armando Galarraga had allowed that night. That might have been the end of the story, except that Jim Joyce missed the call. In the umpire's room after the game, he watched the film and saw that he should have called Jason Donald out. Jim Joyce's mistake had cost Armando Galarraga a perfect game. ESPN's Amy K. Nelson recently visited Jim Joyce at his home in Oregon for the network's Outside the Line series, and she joins me now on the phone. Amy, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you for having me.
When you asked Jim Joyce if you could visit with him, was he receptive, or did you get the feeling that he just wished everybody would allow the story of his mistake to die?
For people who either read the piece online or maybe saw it, you can get a pretty good sense that Joyce is a pretty nice person, pretty affable, and definitely very open. And so when I contacted him, he said, "This is what it's been like." I mean, one of the very first things he said to me in our first conversation over the telephone was that I still think about this every day. And that struck me. And then I gently sort of broached with him, "Well, what do you think about, you know, trying to do a story together?" And he was open to it really from the get-go.
After he called Jason Donald safe, how quickly did Joyce begin to get indications that he was wrong?
His first instinct was that he got it right. He said, "I was positive I got it right." The players didn't immediately approach him with, I think, the verve that they later did, including Jim Leland. Until they went and saw the replay, which they are able to do, basically the umpires are the only ones who aren't able to do that. Once they went into the tunnel and saw the replay, they started coming out and started yelling at him from across the field. And he told me that's when something first started creeping to his mind, just based on his experience, that, hey, if all these players are coming out and they're angry and they're yelling at me and there's a lot of them, then, you know, I probably got the call wrong. But in his mind, he told me, he kept saying, you know, I think I got it right.
And, of course, one of his colleagues, a fellow umpire, did say to him, "Pal, I think you missed it."
That's when he turned to the crew chief, Darryl Cousins, in the umpire's room, and he just said, "Did I miss it?" And Cousins gave him his honest opinion. He said, "Jimmy, I think you missed it." He was very upset when Cousins told him that, but he still wanted to see for himself, and that's when he went and saw the replay for the first and only time, he told me, which astounds me, considering how much that play has been shown over the past 7 months, especially, obviously, in the days following the mistake and the blown call. But he said, you know, every time it even, you know, I had a sense that it was coming on TV, I just turned my head or turned the channel off. He's like, "I don't need to see it. I've seen it in my mind a million times. I don't need to see it again."
The night after the missed call, Armando Galarraga presented the Tigers lineup card to Jim Joyce at home plate. It was a gesture of forgiveness and acceptance. And from Joyce's standpoint, how much did it help?
It helped quite a bit. Joyce told me that he had no idea, no one clued him in that was going to happen. So he was already emotional. He jokes a lot. He says, "You know, I'm Irish, I'm emotional. It's just the way we are." And he saw Galarraga, you know, sort of jump out of the dugout with the lineup card in his hand. He was stunned. The gesture clearly meant everything to him. And he even said in our interview, he said, "You know, I probably shouldn't be admitting this considering I'm a professional umpire, but I couldn't even see the lineup card because my eyes were welled with tears." And he's like, "I could have been pitching. You know, I didn't even know who was playing or in the lineup that day."
Numbers of fans were not as gracious as Armando Galarraga, the pitcher who lost his perfect game, was. Which emails or other messages most distressed Jim Joyce?
Well, for sure, they were the emails and the messages that his grown children received that night. Many of them were laced with death threats. And once Joyce heard about that from his wife, Kay, he was obviously very concerned and very upset. Most people wrote into the commissioner's office, and obviously most people wrote in with positive notes. But some individual brilliantly decided to write a death threat and put his return address on the envelope. For good reason, officials at Major League Baseball thought no one would ever put a return address on a death threat, and so they sent the letter off to Joyce with a package of other letters. And Joyce just happened to be in Houston, Texas when he gets this package, and it says, you know, oh, by the way, if you're ever in Texas, you will be shot. Joyce is sitting in Houston, Texas, so he, you know, he wound up calling MLB security, and, you know, they got him extra security, and he had extra security with him for the rest of the season, and obviously that was a bit unnerving.
There were also a lot of messages of support, of course, from fans, from officials in other sports, even some impromptu notes from baggage handlers at the airport in Detroit.
How rare is it in our day and age that we even write, handwrite notes? You know, everything's electronic. And that they take a pen and they write the two notes of encouragement on his luggage tags, in Detroit, no less. One of them said, "We are all human. Good luck." It was signed DTW Baggage. And that's basically what Armando Galarraga had told Joyce that night when they met in the umpire's room. Joyce didn't even notice them until he got to his hotel, looks down and says, oh my gosh, wow. And carefully takes them off his luggage and puts them in his briefcase and carries them with him in his briefcase for the rest of the season.
Jim Joyce told you at one point that making the mistake almost felt worse than his father's death, which had happened a year before he missed the call. Did that sentiment surprise you?
Very much so. In fact, during our interview, I went back to him and said, is that really true? And he affirmed that completely. And I think part of the reason why is because his whole life has been about baseball. He went to Bowling Green on a scholarship. He was a pitcher, never played professionally, then soon became an umpire after that. And he took his job extremely seriously and very professionally. And there's a reason why all the players voted him the best umpire in Major League Baseball. And he takes great pride in that. And so when your world for so many years, for almost 30 years, has been umpiring and your reputation is the best, it was devastating to him.
I'm talking with ESPN's Amy K. Nelson about umpire Jim Joyce, whose blown call ruined a perfect game. And you're listening to Only a Game. Jim Joyce's wife, Kay, said to you, I want us to remember. Why?
I can understand why she wanted them to remember all of the positive notes, because there were hundreds of them. They were really remarkable, sitting in their kitchen, going through these scrapbooks with them that Kay had made. Was very powerful. But she was also talking about remembering the negative as well. Mm-hmm. And that surprised me. And she said, I think you have to remember the negative along with the positive to understand why people took the lessons they did out of this whole experience. That was impressive to me and definitely a little surprising. But I think it speaks to the character of both of them. They're both very solid people, and they also have a very good sense of humor. And they try not to take themselves too seriously. And I think that helps with the way they've approached this entire situation.
You write at one point of Jim Joyce that, quote, he's still trying to make sense of it all. How's he doing in that regard?
He says that he, every day, almost every day, he still thinks about it, that it is by far the worst mistake he's ever made in his life, and he calls it the worst mistake in umpiring mistake in Major League history. I mean, he attaches those labels to himself without anyone having to do that for him. And when you do that, I think it's very difficult to work yourself out of that hole and those feelings. But at the same time, he's a positive person, and he's a good person, I think. I think those things help him try and move on. And he did tell me, though, in looking ahead to next season, when spring training starts and the umpires start to go and umpire spring training games, he's going to be a little nervous. Mm. He's not sure exactly what to expect. His wife told me that when the World Series ended, when baseball was finally over, that's when he really started to become more like his old self. So what will happen when baseball resumes? We don't know. I don't think he knows. But I think this experience and talking about it, and certainly he told me he never sought therapy, professional help, but that speaking with Kay, his wife of 28 years, has done him a world of good. in trying to move beyond the mistake.
Amy K. Nelson is a reporter for ESPN.com. You can find a link to her story about umpire Jim Joyce at our website, onlyagame.org. Amy, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I know everybody make a mistake sometimes.
It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm. With 3,000 professionals worldwide, Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. And Harvard University, whose Harvard Extension School offers online and on-campus courses to students around the world. Extension.harvard.edu. This is NPR.
Dog bites man? Not a story. Man bites dog? Yeah, that's a story. But what about fox shoots man? In Belarus this week, a hunter who has managed to remain anonymous wounded a fox. When the hunter tried to finish off his prey with the butt of his rifle, a curious strategy if there ever was one, the animal sprang into action and pulled the trigger of the gun, shooting the hunter in the leg. "Now we're even," said the fox. The hunter retreated to a nearby hospital for treatment, and the fox escaped into the woods. All true, except the part about what the fox said. I wasn't there, so I don't know what he actually said.